John chapter 6. Verse number 53, John chapter 6. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so that he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogues, he taught in Capernaum. And many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And then Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, and he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, I won't preach if the Holy Ghost will touch me and help me this morning about this hard saying. Jesus said some things that was hard for men to swallow. You know what the word hard there means? It means it was tough. Yeah. It was tough. And the reason it became tough for a multitude of them people was they didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. Right. They looked at him and said, wait a minute, he's a carpenter's son. How can we eat his flesh and drink his blood? We don't understand what Jesus is talking about. How many people down through the days and down through the years have attended the house of God like a church like this, where the Word of God's preached as God says it is, and they leave scratching their heads, and they say, I really don't understand what that preacher was preaching about. I don't understand what that man said about being saved and being born again. It's because they have no understanding of what real Holy Ghost salvation is. And these men didn't. They're looking at a natural way to partake of the living God. But there's no natural way to be saved, my friend. It's a spiritual birth that a man's saved by. And when we look in this day and hour, men don't understand. Nicodemus didn't. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? God's got to give a man understanding of this great truth. Jesus was saying, you got to partake all of me. My flesh will be given on Calvary. My blood will be shed for sin. But you'll have to take all of me. Thank God, you'll have to eat of me. You'll have to partake of me and everything it has to do with me. But they didn't understand. And they were offended at what he said because he told them something they could not comprehend, and they left him, friend, in a way, they got their way, and didn't go his way, because they did not understand what he said. Amen. We live in an era that we in such a religious day that is sad. I talked to a young man last night, had earrings hanging out of both ears. And I said, son, God save me. 28 years ago. I said, an old man of God told me I had to be born again. And it said I didn't understand. But a God showed me the truth and opened my heart up and gave me light and gave me the gospel in my heart. And I said, I've been saved ever since. And I've been changed by the grace of God. I said, son, what do you think about the house of God? What do you think about church? I guess he is about 28 years old, 30 years old, maybe a little younger than that. And he said, I'll just be honest with you, sir. He said, I don't know what to believe. He said, I've heard this and I've heard that. And he said, you know, I don't know what to believe. He said, I've been interested in about them things. But he said, I just don't know what to believe. I said, sir, let me tell you something. The Word of God is what to believe. But I said this. I said, if you'll come to the house of God, I promise you all I do is preach to you. And the Holy Ghost had to do the rest. Hey, this ain't no business of trying to force something on you. Hey, if the God of heaven don't force it in your heart and give you a power, thank God, from heaven, you'd never know it anyhow. I tell you, we live in a day that men's trying to figure out God, understand His way. But if the Holy Ghost don't let you know, you'll never know it. Amen. That's right. I said, you know, the mailman puts mail in your mailbox. And I said, you have to read it and then do something with it. I said, I'm only a mailman. I just bring the message. Thank God, you'll have to do something with the mail. Amen. And I tell you, we live in a day, people trying to proselyte and trying to make men a convert of their own instead of the Holy Ghost working in hearts. You know what got them men? Number one, they couldn't understand Jesus was saying, you got to partake of me and everything to do with me. But this is what he said to them. Read it. He told them twice in John 6:44, he said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Hey, and then in the next a couple of verses, he got to talking in that verse about learning of him and being taught of God. That God's got to give a man understanding and bring him to this gospel truth. And then later on, he said it again. He said, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. It takes the quickening power of God Almighty to come to where you're at and make you alive. Thank God that you might know the gospel. Amen. I think about the beginning when God, there wasn't nothing but God. And the Bible said in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And the earth was out without form and void. Amen. It was a matter that God had already sent and made. But listen, that matter couldn't be made life until the Holy Ghost came and made it what it was. Hey, the Bible said, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We wasn't nothing but dead sinners, lost and undone without God, without hope. But one day the Holy Ghost took the gospel truth and got a hold of your heart and moved your way and brought you to Calvary and made you a new creature and saved you from your sin. I'm telling you this, it's God that has to quicken a man. A man can't even see unless he's born again. He can't believe unless he hears. Hey friend, God has to do it, and the Holy Ghost, and they couldn't grasp that. They couldn't think about it in a spiritual way, because as natural thinkers instead of God thinkers. Amen. That's right. He said the Spirit quickeneth. He said the words I speak unto you, they're spirit and they are life.
Amen.
This is what he said too. He said he knew them that believed not. That there was a crowd of people in that multitude that was followers of him, but they wasn't believers. Oh, and did he not tell them? He said, I'll tell you why some of you's looking and falling after me. He said, it's not of the miracles that I've done, but because I fed you them fishes and them loaves, that you want my provisions. You really don't want me. You want my provisions. You want my blessings, but you don't want the blesser. You want me to do something for you, but you don't really want me. And that's why he said, you got to have me. It's all or nothing. It's Him or nothing. Salvation, praise God, is coming to Christ. Amen. All that the Father giveth me cometh to me. And in him that cometh to me, I'll no wise cast out. And so them men believe not. Hey, friend, you know this? There's people that come to the house of God that say they believe, but they're here for God to do something for them. And my friend, I see it meeting a need instead of coming to worship and seeking Him and not what He can do for them. That Him is alone. We seek Him alone. Amen. That's right. I want to meet with Him. Now, meet with Him will bring blessing. But I want to meet Him. That's who I want to meet with. And that's what He's saying. You got to partake of all of me. And everything has to do with me. It's impossible to say I love Jesus and not love the church. That's part of Him. It's impossible to say I love Jesus and not love the Bible. That's what the Bible reveals. Amen. That's right. You don't get, listen, this is not a K&W deal. This is not a K&W deal where you walking through and it's optional and you want this meat but you don't want the other. When you come to Him, you get every bit of Him. And He becomes your Lord. He becomes your Lord. You got to have Him as Lord before He'll ever be your Savior. That's who He is. He's the Lord. Jesus Christ. And friend, I'm telling you this, He was Lord before He was Savior. Amen. And you'll have to come as under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Hey friend, that's what He is. That's who He is. He's Lord. And coming to Him as Lord, thank God He'll become your Savior. The first step is getting lost and seeing yourself in need of a Savior. But when you make that step, you come to the Lord Jesus. He's Lord first. If you ever come to Him as Lord, He'll become your Savior. Amen. That's right. That's what He come to do. He come to seek and save that which is lost. And when these men, notice this, I want to say something about this. There's multitudes of people that are around Him, and it says His disciples. It does say that. Now, I've really thought about this, and I still want to say I don't know whether these people were saved or not. Some say they weren't. Some say they was apostates. You say, preacher, who's going to make it? Them that make it. That's right. That's right. He said, many strive to enter in and shall not be able. And then the disciples said, who then can be saved? And He said, with God, all things are possible. That all men. It's possible with God for all men. But who's going to make it? It said here, many of His disciples left Him and walked no more with Him. They went away. You know the churches went away from the old time truths of this Bible? Jesus wasn't trying to get a following. Amen. In fact, He looked at the rest of them and said, y'all going to leave too? He didn't look to them and say, boys, now listen, I just had a crowd to walk off. And He said, I won't be, He didn't say, I'm not going to be as hard preaching again. I mean, don't leave me. Will you please stay with me? He didn't say that. He said, will you also go away? What you going to do now? He didn't cut the message. Thank God, I tell you, He doesn't care whether they're offended or not. He wasn't going to cut the message for nobody. I'm going to tell you, any man cuts the message and tries to trim her down or to get a crowd and a following, he's a heretic. He's an apostate. He ain't God's man. And God's man will look you eyeball to eyeball and tell you what He says. Amen. He didn't try to cut the message. Son, over there in the Old Testament, old Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord around that I can hear from God? And they have said, there's one, but I hate him. So why do you hate him? He says he's always prophesying evil about me.
Yeah, that's right.
You better thank God for that prophet.
Yeah.
They went down there to get him, brought him out, and his name was Micaiah. And they said, Micaiah, he said, now you need to speak good things to the king. He said, I must speak what God says.
Amen.
Boy, old Naaman got offended too, didn't he? He went down there wanting to get healed from that old leprosy he had from head to toe. Hey, man, got down there and he thought Elisha was going to come out and put his hand over the do this kind of thing, and he'd go back home healed and still be the same way, have a heart full of pride.
Yeah.
Elisha said, hey, go out there and tell Naaman to go down to Jordan and dip 7 times and he'll come out clean. Servant come out and said, Naaman, the man of God said, go dip in Jordan 7 times and you'll come out clean. That isn't what he wanted to hear. Today you got to say what you want to hear, but I'll tell you what, thank God, I'm going to tell you, you better be glad you heard it. Amen. You didn't like it when the old man of God told you you was a sinner going to hell and read your mail. But I'm going to tell you what's the best thing ever happened to you when the Holy Ghost brought that truth of God through that man of God and preached it to you as it is. Hey, you'll have to do what the man of God says. Mr. Naaman, if you won't heal, you'll go back home a leper. You know what the Bible said? He said he got mad, got wroth. He said to them people was with him, he said, why can't I go down there to that one Damascus and far? I mean, they're as good as rivers, that old dirty Jordan River. What's he telling me that for?
Yeah.
I wish some people would get mad, don't you?
Amen.
You can't even hardly make people mad today preaching.
Yeah.
Thank God for them getting mad.
Yeah.
I've had people get mad and said, I don't like what you said. I said, it don't matter. Yeah. I didn't say it anyway. I'm just repeating what God put in the book.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Amen. I'm just telling you what God said. I'm a voice, as John said. And I'll tell you what, him old boy said to Naaman, said, Mr. Naaman, if that man had told you something hard to do, you'd do it. But the problem is, you got to humble yourself.
Yeah.
You got to go dip 7 times. What did he do, preacher? He dipped. Dipped 7 times. Come back as flesh is as clean as a child, made anew. That's what Jesus will do for a man that'll humble himself and come to him. He could have went back to Syria. He could have went back and said, well, I tell you what, I ain't listening to him. He could have went back and had the same leprosy that he always had. He had a decision to make. He could have went back and he'd have went back plagued by that old leprosy, that sin, and he had never got whole, he had never got clean. And God, I wish somebody would get mad enough at God's message and repent this morning. Amen. We talking them into it today. We ain't preaching the word.
That's right.
Old David Brainerd, if you ever read his book, he got mad at God. Brainerd did. One of the greatest missionaries that ever lived, American Indian. Died at 29. Him and Jonathan Edwards is like that.
Yeah.
And Brainerd couldn't get it, buddy. He said, that law of God's just too stiff. I can't live by that. He saw the law condemned him every time he looked at it. He got mad.
Yeah.
So one day, thank God, he saw himself as a wretch going to hell without hope. Thank God that old man of God preached to him about Jesus Christ had been born again. The only way the man to find rest and be delivered from the law that condemns him to hell was to repent and fall at the mercies of the Lord Jesus and be born again. And thank God Mr. Brainerd gave up and yielded to God and got born again. He got mad. He got offended before he got right. It is a gospel of offense.
It is.
It's offensive.
Yeah.
Everybody don't want a controversial God. Jesus said, I come not to send peace, but a sword. That's Matthew 10. And this is what the word sword means. It means he come to divide. He come to bring controversy. It is controversial. And this is what he said. Your foe shall be them of your own household. That man stood up and said, I'm a Christian now. I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ. And somebody said, no, you can't do that. He said, I'm going to. I'm saved. I got the can't help it. I can't help but speak it. I can't help but live it. I can't help but tell it. They said he's a fanatic. He's going nuts. So all he wants to do is read his Bible and go to church now. I got something in my heart, thank God man didn't give me. And he can't take it away. And I'm going to tell you, the most grieved that I ever am is when I'm not living for God the way I ought to. I'm the most miserable man. I'm the most grieved man in my heart. If I'm not where I ought to be with God, if I hadn't read my Bible and prayed and heard from God, because that's my life. That's who I partook of. That's who I ate of. That's who lives in me. That's what he is saying. And they say it's a hard saying. It offends me. I don't know why he's saying that. Hey, they didn't understand it. How about thank God the day God saved you? He came to live within you. He manifested himself in you and through you this morning, and by through him you live and of eternal life. A life's got to be in you before you can live it. Amen. It's got to be in you. It's not up here, it's in here. And it said many of his disciples went away, walked no more with him. Pretty tough, ain't it? This old journey's tough, friend. It's tough. It's all kind of warfare on every side. But I want to tell you this. Listen to me. If you're born again and saved by the grace of God, the message that's ever preached from this book, however tight it gets, you ought to never walk away and follow him no more. Why'd they leave, preacher? The message. That's why they left. The message. I've heard people tell me, said, I don't like that loud preaching. Hey, friend, it's not the loud preaching they don't like. It's what the words I'm saying is. And the authority of God. They don't like the authority of God. They don't like, hey, God, what's being preached? Hey, they can go somewhere else and get their ears tickled. And they don't say nothing. It wouldn't matter how loud the man goes. But that Holy Ghost, hey, God, that says you got to do what he says. They don't want to hear that. Jesus said, He said, will you also go away? Hard saying. Don't want to offend him. One of them little ones. I'd rather offend you than offend God. But I don't. In another way, I don't want to trip up a little one. I don't want to be no stumbling block. I think many people could do what Peter and John did on their way to the gate over there to the prayer when that man's at the gate. That man's begging alms. Begging alms down there, son. He couldn't even walk. Yeah. Lame, the Bible said, at the gate, beautiful. And he's looking upon them men of God. And he's looking for something in his cup. And they said, look on us. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, I'm just about to stomp the death out of something. They said, silver and gold have I none.
Yeah.
That kills all these prosperity preachers, brother. You better believe that. It kills all these prosperity preachers. All these people talk about you ought to have all this money and big houses and cars. I'm going to tell you, God bless you that. Thank God for it. And I'll tell you what, aren't you glad? Thank God that when a man's broke, he can really get what he's got. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. You can't give what you don't have. That's right. You can't give what you don't have. He gave what he had. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I said they take up the rise up and walk, and the Holy Ghost power came on him, and he received strength in his ankle bones. He leaped up and said, hallelujah, praise the Lord, went in the temple with them, praising God. God done a miracle on that man. 40 years old. Silver and gold have I none. That woman got broke before she could ever get help. Had an issue of blood for 12 years. Every morning she woke up, she felt that blood in her hemorrhaging. That's right. She went to Dr. Bottlestopper and Dr. Schuler and all these other doctors. They prescribed her to read the upper room. Prescribed her to read all these little pamphlets. Said, ma'am, if you'll read this, you'll be all right. If you'll join the church, ma'am, it'll make you feel better.
Yeah.
Join the choir. Get in there amongst the people there. Make you feel better. She went to the next doctor and said, I've done what he said. I don't feel no better. I feel worse.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. You're going to feel worse if you get broke. Amen. Yeah. Hey, so one day, thank God, she didn't have no money to go to no doctor. She spent every dime she had on them. And she heard Jesus was passing by and had heard what he could do for them that had been sick. And she said, if I can just touch his garment, if I can just touch his, the hem of his garment, touch his clothes, he'll make me whole. She got broke before she ever done it. She quit trying to go to all these doctors, and she trusted, thank God, in touching him. And she was made whole. It had been a good day if that rich man had bowed broke. Oh, he bowed, but he didn't bow broke. And he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, sell what you have. He said, keep the commandments. He said, them I've kept from my youth up. Jesus said, I'll tell you how you can get eternal life. He said, sell what you have, give to the poor, and come follow me.
Yeah.
Went back home grieved. Couldn't give him up. Couldn't bow broke, could he? Had too much. Somebody in here's got too much religion. That's what he meant over there in Acts when he said, you're too superstitious. He said, you're too religious. If you're going to know God, you'll know Him through partaking of Jesus Christ. I like what Peter said. To whom shall we go? Can't go. Hey, listen to me. Whether you agree to it or not, Peter did try to go back fishing in John 21. He just couldn't. He couldn't go too long without the Savior standing on his shore. But Peter said, to whom shall we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. But if you recognize what he said there, and we believe.
Yeah.
He said, we believe. He said, we believe. And aren't sure. We're positive. We don't have a doubt that thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the one sent from God, the anointed one. That thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then one day Paul looked at Timothy and he said, endure hardness as a good soldier. When all them knocks and hardships and all them hard times come upon you, he said, endure it.
Yeah.
Because you got the endurance on the inside.
Yeah.
The perseverer. The Holy Spirit. And Paul said, I finished my course.
Right.
I kept the faith. Who's going to make it? Who makes it?
Yeah.
I do believe Matthew 24 is tribulation scripture. But I believe there's applications in Matthew 24. We can make application to this day.
Amen.
I'm not a free will Baptist. I'm Baptist. I don't believe that he that endureth to the end the same shall be saved is dealing with the church dispensation. Maybe that's dealing with tribulation scripture. But I will say this. He that is saved will make it. He that's saved will make it. And I'm going to tell you this. He that is really saved, he's already made it. Because he glorified me when he saved me. He saw me glorified in Christ. And that means that he sees me already as a complete product. You say, preacher, don't that kind of make you live a little loose? No. That causes me to want to pull to him that I might be more like him.
Amen.
That's what he sees. I don't see it. You don't see it. All you see is me and see some weeds and vines and my friend some leeks. But he don't see it that way. I see you as who you are. The Father sees you as complete. That's what he sees. Complete. He sees you as complete. He don't see no fault in you. He don't see no sin in you. He don't see one thing wrong with you. He says he's complete.
Amen.
In the eyes of the Father. You not yet, but in his eyes you are. The devil who's accused of the brethren says, did you see old Redmond down there? He done this and that. Jesus said, he's taken care of. And the Father says, he's complete. Old fella told me one time, said, if I believe that, he said, I'd shout. I said, it'd do you good too.
Amen.
I tell you, he sees it that way. That's the way we are in Christ. Everything's in him, by him, through him, for him. And brother, that's the way you get in. Life is him. Everything is him. Anything about me is him. It's all him this morning. It's all him. He's not part of my life. He is my life.
Yeah.
Our children's part of our life.
Yeah. Right.
But they're not our life.
Right. That's right, brother.
My wife's part of my life. She is me. We're one flesh. And apart from Christ, I love her more than anybody, and there's no close seconds. But he is my life. He is my life. Let me give you this. We know I could perish, he could perish, I mean far as pass away. That's part of me. But my life will never pass away. Because He is my life.
Amen.
Can't go wrong with Him. Can't go wrong with Him. You can't go wrong with Jesus. You can't go wrong with Him. If all your life consists of temporal things, they'll end there. Oh, thank you, Lord. Isn't it good to be saved? He is your life. That's why you live. That's what He said over there in John 6. I read it a while ago. You don't have life unless you partake of Him. He is life. Son, I'll give you the best advice a man can give you. Make much of Jesus. Because He's made much of you. And there'll never be nobody even close to what He is and who He is in your life. Oh, it's a hard saying. It's hard because you don't want to give up yourself to get saved. It's hard to humble yourself and do what He says. Praise God. Let's stand this morning.